small group leaders. Our small groups are kind of the, our fellowships are the kind of the heartbeat of our church community here. And, you know, it's great to come on Sunday mornings, but it's even better if you're engaged and participating in a weekly small group in some way. So I encourage you guys to go sign up outside later on after the service. We can't live this Christian life on our own. We have to do it in community, and that's what God has surrounded us for. God has saved us for this community, to be able to live this Christian life together. So I encourage you guys to go get signed up and get plugged into one of our small groups. This morning, we are starting off on our fall preaching series called I Am. We are going to be walking through the seven times Jesus says, I am something in the book of John. And he says, I am the light of the world, for example, or I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he makes these big statements about who he is and himself throughout the book of John. And there's seven different things that he says about himself. So we're going to walk through each one of them these next few weeks. So let me ask you this as we kick things off here. How would you describe yourself? How would you describe yourself? They say you were getting to know someone you just met, right? Or imagine you were on a first date with someone. How would you describe, what are the things that you would say to describe yourself? To a person you're getting to know or who's trying to get to know you, you might mention things that capture the essence of who you are. You'd mention your career, or you'd mention what city you were born and raised in, or you'd say what describes your values, or you say, like, you know, I'm an accountant, or I'm a Christian. So those are sort of things. But then the very first things you would say to describe yourself says a lot about what is important to you as well, right? And so sometimes, for those of you guys who are on Instagram or Facebook, right, if you have a profile page, you'll have a deep, brief description of who you are. Like I on my Instagram, I don't have any descriptors on my page, but if I did, it'd be something like, you know, Christian, husband, father, pastor, Chinese, Canadian, something like that, right? All of the things that I think would capture the essence of who I am. But a big part of you making these statements about yourself, you say these things about yourself because there's some sort of relational aspect to it, right? You're hoping to engage other people into your life somehow. You want people to know you. Not just things about you, but you want people to know you, right? It's part of this human impulse that all of us have to be known, right? And so we describe, that's why you describe yourself with the terms that you use. And so these I am statements of Jesus are just like that. They give us the essence of who Jesus is. And Jesus isn't just saying these things because so that we would have some kind of intellectual knowledge of who he is, right? Right. Ultimately, he wants us to know him, not just things about him. And by the end of it, by the end of this sermon series, as we go through these I am statements, they eventually lead us to this one I am statement that kind of captures everything and it ties everything all together. And when Jesus says, I am the true vine, right, in John chapter 15, right, this is the last one we'll be doing, and all of this will be pointing to that. And so for Jesus, these aren't just titles, these aren't just descriptors, but these titles and these scriptures that Jesus fills only point us to into deeper intimacy with him. And that's the whole goal of it, and that's the whole purpose of it as we're walking through these things. And so I pray that as we walk through these next few weeks of this sermon series, talking about Jesus and how he describes himself, right, that we would not just be able to learn things about him, but that it would draw us into deeper relationship with Jesus, that we would be able to delight in who he is, just purely who he is, not just for what he's doing for us, but for who he is, and that knowing who he is would just stir up our affections and our love for him and our desire for more of him, right? And so today we're going to be starting off in the beginning of John's gospel in John chapter 1. And this technically isn't an I am statement, because it doesn't actually say, I am in this particular passage. But chapter 1 does give us is an introduction to how Jesus wants to be known, and it sets the stage for the rest of these statements, and so that happened later on. So we're going to go start with here. This is our starting point. This is where we're launching off of as we go into this preaching series. And we're going to read from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version as usual, and I'm going to read this whole passage, but really, we're really going to really have time to, there's so much stuff here, we only have time to focus and key in on a couple of key verses. And so I'm going to read this passage to you guys. If you can stand with me as I read God's Word to us this morning, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.'" And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word to us this morning. And I pray, Lord, as we look into this passage, that we would just get a deeper sense of Jesus, who you are. That hearing about who you are, learning about who you are, would only draw us to a place where we're on our knees in front of you in worship. Because that is how great you are. That is what you are worthy of. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this morning, Holy Spirit, would you speak directly into our souls, into our hearts, God. Would you open up our eyes and our hearts to you, to more of you, that we might live lives of obedience and repentance and worship. We thank you so much that, Jesus, you are a God who is so great that we cannot comprehend everything there is to know about you. But yet at the same time, you show us and you reveal to us exactly the things that you want us to know. So Lord, help us this morning. Be with us. Fill us with your spirit. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, you guys. Thanks so much for standing with me. In verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so right there, the Word, right? If you've read this passage before, you'd be able to tell me that what John is talking about when he says the Word is he's talking about Jesus. How do we know this? Well, we can skip down a few verses, verse 14, where it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so obviously, we're talking about Jesus here. Jesus is the Word, okay? So here's the next question that we need to ask here. Why was Jesus the Word? Why is Jesus described in this way? Because it's not a typical title you would give to someone, let alone Jesus, right? So Son of God, I can understand, right? King of heaven and earth, Messiah, all of those things, I get that, right? But Jesus the Word is not typically something that we would find in a worship song. We don't really sing about this, Jesus the Word. We kind of sang about this earlier in the song that we sang just now, which takes its first verse directly from this particular passage. But oftentimes, we don't sing about Jesus the Word. But here's something you need to know about how Jesus or how God accomplishes things and his purposes in this world, right? What does God do? He speaks. He says things. He says words. And so when it says right here, verse 2, "He was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made." Do you know what he's saying here? What he's saying, remember back in Genesis 1, how God created everything? What was the methodology that he used? It says, "And God said, let there be light. God said, let the waters be swarming with life. Let us make man," right? It's saying that Jesus was the one through whom everything was created. In creation, God spoke. Right? God spoke. And it was through Jesus, the Word, that everything came into being and had life. All right? God speaks and His Word creates. Psalm 33 says this, by the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made. It's just reinforcing this idea that the Word that God creates and gives life through His Word. And by the same Word, God delivers us and gives us, grants us salvation. Isaiah 55, verse 11 says this, so shall my Word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent. And so throughout the Old Testament, right? God spoke and everything was created. God spoke and He brought deliverance and salvation into His people. And so why is Jesus now the Word? Why is Jesus now the Word? Jesus is the Word that created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is the Word that was about to bring deliverance and salvation into the world, right? This is what John is saying here. But there's another point about the Word that I also want to unpack and break down for you guys. The thing about Word, what it's saying is that it's the very nature of God to reveal Himself, right? When we use words, words reveal things and tell things and communicate things. And so think about the whole concept of words for a second here. Think about the concept of words. Words are everywhere, right? Every single word, and every single word that's used carries a massive amount of meaning. Without words, it'd be very difficult to exist as a human being, wouldn't it? Or to live and engage this world. We write words, we speak words, we think words, we dream words, we text, we type words, right? Some people draw words. Even if we are physically unable to speak words, there's still sign language that you use to communicate words. So words are all around us, and it's basically impossible to go through life without using words or attaching words to things that we observe or think or do. And here's the point. We don't know or can't really know something or someone without words attached to it. For example, if I'm watching football for the first time, I won't know that it's football that I'm watching, unless in my mind that word football is associated with the thing that I'm watching, right? So then if I really get into it, I won't know what the sport is about. I will never understand what the sport is about unless I know the words associated with that sport, like ball, for instance, right? Or quarterback, or touchdown. Those things will have no meaning to me unless I know the words associated with that particular sport or activity. Or action, right? It would be just a bunch of guys running around trying to kill each other at that point. Or here's another example. Say I meet, as a pastor, I meet someone new probably every week, either here inside church or outside of church. Standing up here, I can look out and scan the congregation right now and probably see someone new, right? If I'm focused on that. But if you ask me, do I know them? Have I met them? If I've never met them before, if I've never spoken to them before, I'd have to say, no, I don't know them. I've never met them. Or take someone like, someone famous like, I don't know, the first person that came to mind was Bruce Lee, okay? Or someone. Bruce Lee, like say someone like Bruce Lee, someone famous. I can go on Google and read up on what he's like. I can Wikipedia him and find out about what he's done in his life, his accomplishments, the movies he's made. I might even know a bit about his personal life. But if I've never spoken to Bruce Lee or he's never spoken to me, right, I've never really met him. I don't actually know him. Why is that? Because it's your words that are ultimately what expresses you, who you are to other people. Who you really are. You reveal yourself through your words. And if you've never exchanged words with another person before, you can't really say you know that person, right? And so here's the thing about Jesus being the Word, then. You can't know about God by learning a lot of things about Him, right? You can study Him, you can read books about God and take classes about God, but you can't really know who God really is, right? There are a lot of Bible scholars out there who've made careers out of studying the Bible who aren't even believers in Jesus, right? But so you can't really know God except through Jesus Christ. Just like I can't know someone unless I've actually met them or spoken words to them. I can't know God unless he's spoken to me and I've heard him speak. And just like we reveal ourselves when we speak, God reveals himself through his word. And so here's the point. Jesus is the ultimate, clearest revelation of who God is. Every single thing that God wanted to reveal about himself is everything that Jesus is. Everything that Jesus says and does are exactly the same things that God says and does. Do you want to know God? If you want to know God personally, it can only happen through the Word. And Jesus is the Word. The whole point of it is that Jesus is God. Right? So here's what this means. Here's what this means for us. This means that following Jesus can't be done halfway. Right? If what I just said is true and Jesus is the fullest, the truest, the clearest expression of who God is, it doesn't just say that Jesus is the Word of God. He says he's the Word who is God, right? So Jesus is God. And the Word tells us that in the Gospel of Luke, to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses and follow him. Right? There are no halfway measures here that I could see. Right? So if Jesus is God, like we've been saying, if Jesus is God and Jesus is the one through whom everything's created and Jesus is the source of light and life into this world, you can't be just like, I like Jesus here, but I don't like Jesus there. So I'm going to follow him here, but not this, in this part of my life. You'd have to go all in at this point, right? If we're dealing with the creator of the universe here, if we're dealing with God who is revealed in Jesus Christ here, you can't go halfway. You got to go all in. You'd have to orient and rebuild your life all around him. Not just pieces of it. All of it. And this means that in order to follow the Word, we'd have to know what Jesus is like so that we can follow him in that. And so the only reliable way to know what Jesus is like is to read and study and meditate on him in this book, which we also call the Word of God. But the difference is that we don't say that the Bible is God, right? But the Bible reveals us the ultimate Word who is God. It tells us about Jesus. And so we can hear stories about Jesus. We can go to Sunday school classes and hear Bible Sunday school stories about Jesus. You can hear me preaching about Jesus, but you'll never get to know the true Word without you yourself picking up his Word, breaking open the spine and finding out about Jesus yourself. I mean, don't rely on what I teach you or what your Sunday school teaches you or your small groups or Bible studies. You got to read it for yourselves, right? You got to read it for yourselves. You got to experience it for yourselves. You got to mine this book for the treasures that you can find inside of it. You got to study it. You got to reflect on it. You meditate on it. Memorize it. Pray through it. Man, listen to it being read aloud to you. There are literally apps for that. You just download it and you press play and it'll read it out to you if you're too lazy to read, right? You can only follow Jesus. The only way you can follow Jesus if you actually know what he did and how he lived and what he was about. And so it's not enough just to feel his presence, right? It's not enough, whatever that means. It's not enough just to have a spiritual experience or get a spiritual high. Those are good things, and they're a part of what God uses to connect you to him, but don't just rely on those things. That's not all Christianity and the Christian life is all about. A lot of you guys have just come back from teens camp last weekend, and for a lot of you, it was this amazing experience. Like, you've encountered God sometimes for the first time. And God was doing some incredible work last weekend, and it's so cool for me to hear and to see what it was all about. But here's my encouragement to you guys, just don't go from camp to camp or worship event to worship event or fellowship to fellowship just to keep and relying on that to keep your spiritual light afloat and vibrant and strong. That's not what it's all about. You got to get to know Jesus deeper. Jesus, who's the Word, you got to get to know Him deeper by diving into His Word. Because once you do that, once you combine this, the knowledge of His Word, you combine that to the experience of Jesus, the spiritual, the supernatural experience of Jesus, that can only drive you deeper in love with Jesus. But you got to balance it out. You need both working at the same time. And it's not enough to have one but not the other. If all you have is knowledge, right, on one hand, if all you have is knowledge, your experience of Jesus and your walk with Jesus is might end up just being cold and lifeless. Just another intellectual exercise. On the other hand, if all you have is spiritual experience, your faith really becomes shallow and unanchored. You'll be blown back and forth depending on your circumstances or how you feel in that particular day. And so you're just hoping and waiting for another experience of Jesus just to keep your faith strong or to reassure you that, man, He's there, He's there, He's there. Because you're not, and this is happening over and over again, your Christian life is just like this, like a roller coaster. And this is happening because you're not deeply rooted in the truth of Jesus, which you can only find if you know this. So you need a combination. Jesus is the Word, and the Word was God. Get to know what the Word said. You really want to know God? Man, you really want to know what He's like? You want to get the fullest experience of who He is and in His presence in your life? Get to know Jesus, and you'll find out. Here's what else John says about the Word. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Excuse me. Now, this idea that God became man is something we hear so often that it can get to the point where we might be taking it for granted, right? We hear this at Christmas time a lot. God, Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If we've been Christians for a while, we might not even bat an eye whenever someone says something like this that mentions that Jesus is God and that God became man in Jesus. Like, this is not something that we just kind of gloss over it because we assume this information now. But what I want to do this morning is we want to try to unpack this a little bit more to give you a bit of more depth in your understanding of what this is all about, okay? So, like we've been saying, the Word, God's self-expression, who was both God and who was both with God and who was God, He became flesh, right? We've been talking about this. So Jesus put upon himself our humanity. Everything about us other than our sin, okay? He took in everything. So everything that we are, Jesus became. Just like we get tired or hungry or thirsty, so did Jesus, right? Just like we feel emotions, joy, pain, sorrow, anger, confusion, frustration, happiness, Jesus felt it all, the whole breadth, the whole spectrum of human experience, Jesus lived it. And the only thing that He never experienced about being human was sin. So this is what this means, though. Hebrews 1 says something very similar to John 1. And it says this, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Now, if you've ever studied or thought about in any way the process of communication, You'll know that for proper communication to happen, you need three basic things, right? You need a speaker, you need a listener, and you need a message to communicate between the speaker and the listener, right? So if you're missing any one of these three things, you don't have communication, okay? So like if you have a speaker and a listener, but no message, I mean, there's no communication because there's nothing being communicated. It's just silence, right? Sometimes you might experience this with your spouse. I don't know. There's no communication happening because there's nothing being communicated. Sometimes if you just, all you have is a listener, if you don't have a listener, you're just talking to yourself here. You're communicating to yourself. But so you need all three happening in order for proper communication to happen. And on top of that, for effective communication to happen, the speaker needs to be able to communicate that message in a way that the listener is able to understand the message, right? Makes sense? That's the big challenge about preaching here every Sunday. I need to be able to make clear the scriptures so that you, the listener, can understand scriptures better. I can't speak to you in sign language or in German because no one will be able to understand that here unless there's some like sort of secret talent that you guys have that I don't know about. But, I mean, I can barely speak Chinese, right? And I could barely speak English sometimes. But I need to communicate the message in a way that you would understand it most effectively. Some days I'll do it better than other days, but that's my job. That's my role as a communicator, as a speaker. So when the word becomes flesh, what is happening? When the word has become flesh, what is happening? God is communicating the word in a way that we as human beings, the listeners, can understand. We understand other human beings. We can understand people, right? I mean, we can read about stuff or hear about things, but until we can see real life application, until we can see something that's modeled to us, it's just theory or just ideas or just concepts at this point, right? It's one thing to pull out a scroll like they did back then and roll it and start reading from it. But if you can see all of this lived out in front of you by a real live human being, it makes so much more sense, doesn't it? And so, say you wanted to learn how to swing a golf club, but for some reason you've never actually watched golf before, you have no idea what it looks like. Okay? You just know that there's a thing called golf, and you swing a club, and you hit a ball somewhere, okay? So you can pick up a golf magazine, or you can Google how to swing a golf club, and there'd be like steps on how to swing a golf club. Okay, I gotta set up my stance, I gotta set up my stance properly, I gotta have my grip like this, I gotta grip the club in this way, and then I swing and fire it away. But I'll never know what it's supposed to look like, or what the ball is supposed to do after I hit the ball, unless another human being shows me, unless I've seen someone else do it. I need to watch a video of a person hitting golf balls, or better yet, I need a live person in front of me to physically be there to model the golf swing for me so I can see what's happening. This is what Jesus does for us. He takes God from just theory and ideas and the abstract so that we can understand what life is like in real life. All the things about God being just and holy and righteous and loving and gracious, it's not just something we read on a page anymore. We can see exactly what it means because Jesus embodies it all. He comes in the flesh to show us and reveal it to us. God becomes more real to us in Jesus. Jesus, the word, the message, he helps us to understand God in a way that can only happen because he became flesh. And like we've said, everything God wanted to reveal about who he is and his purposes for the history of creation and all of us, he reveals in Jesus. The word becoming flesh, then, means that the word is both a speaker and the message. What Jesus is like is exactly what God is like. What makes Jesus happy, sad, angry are the exact things that makes God happy, sad, and angry. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus, and there's your answer. You want to see what God is doing in this world and what his purposes are for creation? Look at what Jesus does. Look at how he lives his life. You want to know what God is calling you in your own life? Look at what Jesus' calling is in his life. Because that's ultimately what our true calling is. You want to know what it's like to follow Jesus and live like a Christian should and what the Christian life is all about? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Now listen, I'm going to try to get really practical here, and there's so many implications to all of this, but we'll go with this for today. Do you know Jesus, the Word? Do you worship him as God? And I don't mean just singing songs to him. I mean, do you worship Jesus as God in the way we've been defining worship over the last few weeks, as this constant outpouring of our life to him, the laying down of our control of our lives to him, the complete rebuild of our lives around him? Do you worship Jesus like that as God? Because if Jesus was just a good teacher, or even if we know Jesus as someone who sacrificed his life for us, we might give a part of ourselves to him. We might really resonate in our hearts with certain parts of who Jesus is or what he did, or change our lives because of that. We might be moved by his grace and his love and his sacrifice, but until we recognize that Jesus himself is God, everything we do in response is probably going to be just a half measure. But if Jesus is God, if Jesus is the one through whom everything was created, if we'd have to go all in, wouldn't we? We'd have to give ourselves fully and completely to him, and there's no other way that I could see. We might fail along the way, but we got to try. With the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, to give the strength to be able to do that. Are we asking that for that to happen in our lives? That we progress on this way to become more like Jesus. Listen, the Word was God and the Word became flesh. Jesus is God and he shows us the way to live for him. He himself lives it. We just need to go in there and see for ourselves. And this morning we are going to be participating in the bread and the cup. And as we do that, this Word who is God, who became flesh, came and died on the cross just like any human would die. But he did that. He went on the cross, and the only thing that he didn't experience was sin. But on that cross, all of our sins was placed on his shoulders. And this Jesus, this God who became flesh, he hung on there on that cross in our place, dying the death that we should have died, so that we wouldn't have to in the end of the day. And he gave his body up, which is represented by the bread. And his blood was shed and is represented by the cup this morning. And every time we gather here, we get to recognize and remember and celebrate what Jesus did on the cross to save us. The first thing he did was he created everything. But when everything went downhill through sin and death, what he did was he came in the flesh and dwelt among us. And he died on the cross on our behalf, according to scriptures. And on the third day, he rose again to new life, according to scripture. And as he does that, and as he calls us by faith, he invites us to be around this table and invites us to a seat at this table to dine with him as his sons and daughters. He invites us into his kingdom. And so all of this, the gospel, is represented by the bread and the cup this morning. That every time we get to participate, every time we receive the bread and the cup, what we're doing is we're proclaiming the greatness and the glory of the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. So I'm going to invite the communion stewards to come forward this morning. And as they come forward, I'm just going to give you a couple of practical instructions of how this works. The ushers are going to invite you guys row by row to come forward and to receive the bread and the cup. If you don't understand what this is about, or if you haven't been baptized, or you're not a Christian, we respectfully ask you to decline taking the bread and the cup, but we still want you to come forward, because we still want to say a word of blessing to you. And so if this is you, if you're coming up, just cross your arms over your chest or give a shake of the head, and we'd be glad to say a quick word of blessing to you. If you need a gluten-free option, please come down this aisle. We'd be glad to serve you. Just let the server up here know. And if you're physically unable to come up to receive the bread and the cup, just let the usher know, and we'd be glad to come to you to serve you where you're sitting. But this morning, and as we continue on, I just want to read to you these words from Paul, which summarizes what this is all about. And he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So I'm going to invite you guys to pray right now as we head into this time of communion. I'm going to give you a moment just to be still before the Lord. So contemplate this grand mystery that's been revealed in Jesus Christ. That the mysteries of God is revealed in the Word who became flesh. Spirit of the living God, would you fall fresh on us this morning? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were with God and you are God, that all things were created by you, that you hold everything in the palm of your hand by your word. In your hand is the heavens and the earth, God. And you placed stars in the sky, and you folded mountains out of earth. You filled the oceans with life, the lands with life. You create us human beings in your image to reflect your glory. And yet when we failed you, when we sinned against you, rebelled against you, you still loved us anyway. You sent your son Jesus into this world, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. You died on the cross in our place so that we wouldn't have to die anymore, eternal death. And you rise to life so that we can have new life by faith in you. And you invite us as sons and daughters around your banqueting table here. You call us each by name as individuals to come forward, to be yours, to belong to you, the creator of the universe. And we thank you that your love covers a multitude of sin. Otherwise, who can stand before you, let alone eat with you? And so, Lord, we thank you that by your grace, we get to participate in the bread and the cup this morning. It is all grace. And we proclaim your death until you come and you return back. And we thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Amen.